Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Andrew Shatkin Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I welcome you in every way, of every person, of every thought stream and idea and opinion and faith, and even if, whether you are a Marxist or a socialist or a Christian or a communist, you are most welcome to express your views and thoughts. I'm a person who is interested in what people think, what they have to say, and I urge my concern today is the lack of thought present in our society, which appears to be the case, and I'm hoping that this will change when people range themselves in the thought processes historically available in the great books. Now, tonight we're going to talk about poverty and whether it's, for a Christian, it's blessed in some way. Tomorrow night, I'm going to address a similar issue of poverty in the Christian communion, but tonight it's going to be, is poverty blessed? This show is a politically incorrect show. That is to say, we are concerned with getting facts and truth wherever they may lead. We are concerned not with media hype, political rhetoric, media falsehoods, or media lies. That is not our aim and goal. Our aim is to, to some extent, get at the truth and facts, despite the poundings of the media to which effectively our lies on right and left and serve to only mislead us because these people want to get elected or want to get money from us, either one. Second, I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian Creed, and I also adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture, and if I read a book, it'll be C.S. Lewis, it'll be G.K. Chesterton, Hilaire Belloc, St. Thomas Aquinas, Augustine, or the greatest of Christian thinkers, Paul of Tarsus. I also am the author of 10 books, and these books are fully available on Amazon.com and BNN.com, and they're Christian and legal books. And I have planned 4 more Christian and legal books, and they are selling quite well nationally and internationally. I also have 2 radio shows that I run, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and these shows are fully available to large numbers of people. Over 4,300 people have visited the podcast show, and many, many people from Bangladesh, Saudi Arabia, and many, many Muslim countries visit these sites, both podcasts and the blog talk radio show. And many people upload my over 700 essays fully available on the website and social media and on academia.edu. Many, many people from many countries read these publications of mine on a regular basis. Now, what am I going to say about poverty today? There's a lot of confusion about what Jesus said about poverty. We have to understand that Jesus, in some sense, took upon himself humility and poverty in becoming a human being from the precincts of heaven. And he also lived a life of poverty. He didn't have a great deal of money. He was a carpenter. And the people that he surrounded himself with were, frankly, rather poor, except for Matthew, who was a tax collector. They were somewhat, and the fisherman ran a business, that's possible, but I don't think he had particularly surrounded himself with wealthy people, and really, he seemed to be concerned about poor people. In fact, it was said of him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Meaning, can anything good come out of that backward hick town? Or who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? So meaning that what kind of people does this man associate with? We have to remember that his followers were poor, sinners, moral and ritual law sinners, and one, Mary Magdalene, was a reformed prostitute. So he certainly did not have a concern for identifying with the powerful or wealthy. However, let's look at some sayings he says about poverty. Jesus said, "The poor in spirit," or in Luke, "the poor are blessed." The term "poor in spirit" may be interpreted as meaning humble, as opposed to arrogant or prideful. But however you may cut it, these are very extremely puzzling statements. What does he mean that the poor in spirit and the poor are blessed? Why is poverty, why is suffering, poverty and humility, why are they so blessed? And it seems to run current, these statements seem to run current to our present society's current emphasis on the good and desirability of the acquisition of material wealth, which permits those who succeed in getting money a measure of dominance, if not arrogance. But we have to say that in our modern society, where there's a emphasis on the desirability of the acquisition of material wealth, and which allows those who succeed in getting this wealth to obtain dominance and arrogance, but we have to ask ourselves, with Jesus' statement here, obviously the modern society's emphasis in the acquisition of wealth can hardly be thought to result in humility. Now, what does Jesus mean here that the poor and poor in spirit or the humble are blessed? I think there's a number of ways to interpret this. I think he means that not that they are blessed in this life, but because of their suffering and difficulties in this life, they will be rewarded in the next. I think that's what he means. I don't think Jesus wants people poor. I think he wants an equal distribution of wealth, equalized as much as possible. I don't think he wants people to suffer in poverty. Not at all. But I think he means here, gave what he meant by the poor and poor in spirit are blessed, that they will be rewarded in the next life for their suffering in this. Let's take a look about the issue of material wealth. It seems that material wealth can present a barrier to faith and belief in spirituality. These people who acquire great wealth may erroneously come to believe they are all-powerful, autonomous, and independent beings, and they can come to reject the idea of God, who has created rules and will come to judge them. They will not see themselves as dependent, created creatures. So I think that material wealth, Jesus seems to say that material wealth can present a barrier to faith, belief in spirituality, and he seems to say that those who acquire great wealth may erroneously come to believe that they're autonomous or powerful or independent beings and come to reject the idea of an invisible God who has created and rules them and will come to judge his dependent created creatures. So I think that's a factor. So great wealth comes to allow us to come to believe in ourselves alone. So with wealth and goods, we no longer feel the need for repentance, salvation, worship, or service, and certainly don't come to feel and exercise great humility. So, yes, material wealth blocks us from faith, belief, and spirituality, because those who get a lot of money may erroneously come to believe they are all-powerful, autonomous, and independent beings. And they can come to reject the notion of an invisible God who's created rules and will come to judge them. Or better put, great material wealth allows us to come to believe in ourselves alone, that we have it all. We have no need of God or Christ, and we may no longer feel the need for repentance, salvation, worship, or service. So, in some sense, we have to say that wealth is a barrier to personal growth, kind of a barrier. We come to believe in ourselves alone. We don't need anybody. We think we have all the power and all the cards in our pockets. So it's a barrier to personal growth, since this fools us sort of into believing not in gods, as gods, but as occurred in John Milton's great epic poem, Paradise Lost, and in the second chapter of Genesis, we come to believe in ourselves as gods alone. Wealth can fool us into believing that we have a kind of temporary earthly mortality, when the truth of it is that in any second of our lives we may be taken and removed from the little drama and play that constitutes our life. Wealth leads us to believe in ourselves alone and is a barrier to personal growth, since it fools us into believing not in God but in ourselves as God, as occurred with our first parents in Genesis 2 and in John Milton's Paradise Lost. We come to believe in ourselves alone. Wealth may fool us into believing we have a temporary kind of immortality, when the truth of the matter is that we can be taken from this life anytime we want, anytime we can, and God wants to take us. What about poverty and humility? What's so good about them? I think it enables us to face our limited humanity and basic powerlessness. And the whole saying here about poverty and humility is very radical and puzzling, since in thought, Christ sets himself and the church against the values of the secular material society in materialism, power, pride, and arrogance. Well, what does he mean then? It does, the saying of Christ sets the church against the values of the secular material society in materialism. I think so. But how is poverty and humility blessed? They're blessed because those who suffer in this life in poverty or in humility will be rewarded in the next. And the truth of the matter is that wealth leads us and fools us to believe we have power when we do not have power, and that each day we live on borrowed time. I have to say one other thing. There are certain incidents in the Gospels which can shed light on the matter of money and materialism. The rich young man came to Jesus and said, "How can I be saved and have eternal life?" And the final statement of Christ was, "Give away all your goods and follow me." And the young man said he couldn't do it and walked away sorrowing. So this is another indication that Christ recommends a kind of poverty. But I don't think he means here that people, they have the option of giving away their goods. It's an option. It's a radical option. But I think the idea here is that anything which impedes us from knowing God in Christ, anything that impedes us is like money. It could be money. It could be brains. It could be looks. It could be anything, a job. Whatever impedes us, Jesus seems to say here, in the case of the rich young man, it was money, that is a barrier. And but I think there's also some truth in the story that he kind of recommends that if we truly want to follow him fully, we must take on poverty, because he himself took on poverty. And that's as much as I have to say about this tonight, and I hope you've enjoyed the talk. You can find this chapter in my book, entitled Is Poverty Blessed?, found in an essay on the Christian worldview and others. I think also that in some sense, Jesus identified with the poor. I don't think there's a question about it in his life and in these sayings, and we must understand that he is telling us that it's not good to be poor, but that he identifies with the poor of this world in a spiritual sense. Perhaps you might say that he endorses spiritual poverty in some sense. I don't think he wants people poor. I think he wants people to have good lives, comfortable lives, but he's trying to make us understand that poverty can be a barrier to growth, can be a barrier to the full understanding of who we are in this life. And also, we come to believe in our power, having a kind of an arrogance, when the fact of the matter is we do not have the power at all, and our life can be taken from us at any time. Look at this chapter in my book, Is Poverty Blessed? pages 30 and 31. I think you'll enjoy the chapter, and tomorrow night I will be speaking about another chapter in my discussion of poverty, and this chapter will be entitled Poverty and the Christian Communion. I think you'll find it interesting and enlightening and helpful, and I hope that I've given you the words of Christ as a direction and his life to how we should live. Perhaps Jesus is recommending not that we be poor, but that we share our goods and wealth with others who may not have that goods and wealth. Maybe that's what he means by taking on poverty, sharing. I think he wants people to share. Doesn't want some people to be in want. I've enjoyed this talk, and I hope you have too.